This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Remember those hanging chads? Those not quite bit committed little bits of paper? They came to symbolize the problem with voting systems in the 2000 election. They also spurred Congress to pass the Help America Vote Act. That was a multi-billion dollar program to modernize America's voting system. Since the act was passed, precincts around the country have traded their punch cards and their scanners for electronic voting machines. And in this election season, about a third of you will be using these types of machines in spite of many documented cases of machine malfunction. Election officials say they have been working hard to find and correct problems that sprang up in the last election. But can we trust the results this time around? And what if we need to recount? 23 states still do not require a record, a paper record, of all votes. Joining me now to talk about it is Avi Rubin. He is professor of computer science at Johns Hopkins University. He's also the technical director of the Information Security Institute there. He joined us from Baltimore. Welcome back to the program.
Thanks a lot, Ira.
Have there, so far in the primaries that have happened, any record of any problems going on there?
Well, I have heard of some problems. There are news stories about problems in South Carolina where the voting machines weren't working right, and poll workers were using backup emergency paper ballots and even sending people away and telling them to come back later in the day. There haven't been that many primary elections yet. You know, we're really going to start doing that in earnest next week. But there have been some problems already.
Well, let's talk about Super Tuesday. Are there any states that you will be paying attention to, maybe not for so much of who's going to win or lose, but how the votes are carried out?
Yeah, that's definitely what I look at, is how the voting is taking place. And given that we have so many places that are going to have their elections, I think it's going to be our first chance to see how the current technology is holding up. One of the big problems, though, that I'm concerned about, in addition to whether or not the election works and if the voting equipment is reliable, is whether or not it's also getting the right results. You know, when the voting machines fail, or when they don't boot, or when they crash, we see that and we know that that happened. But what if something goes wrong in the software in these voting machines and they tally the votes incorrectly, but still within the expected result, so it doesn't raise any alarms? And so the concern I have is that if a candidate wants to challenge the results on these electronic voting systems, there's really no means for them to do that because you can't perform recounts.
Because there's no paper trail?
Well, that's right. There isn't any ballot, actually. So the DREs, for example, that we use here, that's direct recording electronic machines that we use in Maryland, you simply walk up and you make your selections, and an internal variable inside of the machine increases a tally for anyone that you vote for. Now, there really are no ballots. There are ballot images that the vendors claim they can create, but all they're doing there is looking at the totals and then creating that many quote-unquote ballot images.
And so there's no way to then go inside and recount the votes again.
Right. It's like, imagine a calculator. You know, you type in a bunch of numbers into the calculator and you store it in the memory. And then if you recall the memory in the calculator, you get the same number back. But if something went wrong in the process, there's no way to know it. All you can do is say recall memory and get back the same number.
So why don't they have a paper trail? Among other states, the couple dozen that I mentioned also.
Well, many states do have paper ballots and paper trails. I think it's I would ask the same question. It's really the policymakers who make the selection about which voting system to use in each state should be asked that question. Not all of them agree with me that it's dangerous to run an election where you have no physical, tangible record of the ballots. They say that the computers always get it right, but I beg to differ with that.
Mm-hmm. And one place that that's very important, California, has been watching its own voting machines, and the California Secretary of State, Deborah Bowen, ordered a top-to-bottom review of that state's voting machines. Dr. Rubin, she's found something that she didn't like?
Absolutely. I think Secretary Bowen did a tremendous service to the entire country by ordering this review. Many election officials in her position in other states simply moved quickly to adopt electronic voting without stopping to ask the question, well, how good are these systems, how secure, how reliable, et cetera. And she brought in the top computer scientists in the country, many of them from California, and they had several months to study the machines. And their report is really eye-opening reading. I mean, they were able to do everything from writing a virus that would copy itself into the central tallying and change the vote totals to finding errors in the software, what's classically known as buffer overflow attacks, which is the most common computer security problem. And interestingly, they found these security problems not only in the fully electronic DRE machines, but even in the optical scan machines. And so what that tells us is that nothing that's fully computerized should be trusted in the process. But the nice thing about voting on paper ballots, even if there's a problem with the scanner, at the end of the day, you still have those paper ballots, mm-hmm. and you can resolve the election results one way or another.
What is your personal view of what the perfect system would be?
Well, I think it's pretty much too ambitious to hope for the perfect voting system. Voting is a very complex process, and there are a lot of moving parts, and it's one big day. But I think that the best that we can do right now is to have optically scanned paper ballots and to give voters a choice. You know, for accessibility reasons, we need to have what are called ballot marking machines at the precincts where voters can interact with a touch screen or using an audio interface to make their selections. And then a paper ballot that's all filled out is printed out. Or voters who wish to do so and thinks they can do so well can fill out those paper ballots by hand by marking the ovals. The modern scanners are much improved over the old ones. And now, if a voter makes a mistake when marking a paper ballot and puts it into the scanner can detect that maybe they selected too many people in one of the races or maybe they have a stray mark and will spit out the ballot and give the voter a chance to fix it. And so a lot of the criticisms of using optical scanners are actually no longer relevant. Mm-hmm. And I think that what you then do is you perform random spot audits on the counting that the optical scanners are doing. And if you find discrepancies, then you can increase the size of the audit. And you keep the ballots so they can be there for recounts. And using different machines to count the same ballots is a way to check that there isn't a problem with the machines. So ultimately, I think that the system that uses paper ballots and uses optical scanners avoids a lot of the security and reliability problems, but isn't perfect.
But there still is the training of people issue,
well,
right?
Absolutely.
You mentioned that last time you were here.
I think that a full election requires identifying not only the right equipment to use, but the right policies and procedures to put in place. And they have to be simple enough that the very tired, I can tell you from personal experience, poll workers can carry them out in a long, full day. And like I said, there are a lot of moving parts and a lot of pieces have to be coordinated together. And it's really amazing that we can pull off elections at all. But I don't think we want to put ourselves in the position where the equipment we're using is making it harder than it already is.
So should we be – does California now have a system that we can trust? It is being talked about as a key state, and Ohio and other states like that?
Well, California does not have a uniform system across the state. They have different areas using different technologies, but they have paper records of every vote. And so I believe that California is in much, much better position than it was in the past and than my home state of Maryland is in. I think Ohio, the Secretary of State there, Bruner, also – ordered a study very similar to what California did, and the results there were just as shocking. They found all kinds of problems. And in fact, she pushed for a move to paper ballots and optical scan. Florida did the same for the general election. And so I think a lot of the key states are getting it right, and that doesn't mean that we're going to have problem-free elections, but it means that a lot of the problems that we could have had from electronic voting, we won't have.
What about the machines themselves? Are we able to actually look inside all these voting machines and see that they're not making up the answers?
No, that's a problem. You know, the DRE machines that we use in Maryland, they have 50,000 lines of software that goes into just the running of the voting application on those machines. And there isn't anybody that can look inside of the machine, you know, where it's got the running code and all the various electronics and tell you what's going on in there. This is one of the problems, electronic voting is not transparent. Even a very well-educated computer scientist can't look at a computer and tell you what's going on inside of it. There's a lot that we can do in analyzing a system, but ultimately, if there's been a difficult-to-find glitch, or even worse, a maliciously inserted piece of software that's trying to change the election, there isn't any good way to detect that. And so even if it's not happening, the very fact that elections often produce results that are going to be called into question by people, and the fact that these machines are capable of being rigged this way, I think is a big problem for the public confidence.
Mm-hmm. And so will you be watching to see any discrepancies? I mean, we're talking about giant turnouts.
Right. All the poll workers can do is really watch that people aren't spending more time than they need to vote at the machines and that nothing unusual is happening. I think that once we get into the precinct and the election is going on, I usually take off my computer science hat and put on my poll worker hat and just try to have things go smoothly and hope that we're not the ones that end up in the news.
Mm-hmm. And you can help people with problems.
That's right.
And there are lots of problems with people. And as you said last time, a lot of folks are older people who are not used to even working with some of these computers.
That's right. I think we've greatly increased the complexity of working in the polls. You know, in Montgomery County, Maryland, in the 2006 primary, someone forgot to put the smart cards that are needed to activate the machines into the pouches that are delivered to the precincts there. And as a result, the polls were delayed several hours. Now, that's the equivalent, if you're using optical scan systems, of forgetting to put the pencils in the pouch. Well, you know, there are other ways of getting pencils quickly. But if you increase the complexity, if there are so many different parts that have to all be perfect, and you have poll workers who are not experienced with this technology and have trouble training up to use it, then I think you're putting yourself in a much more difficult position for running a problem-free election.
Well, good luck to you. Thanks for coming on. And we'll talk to you after some of the season is over and get your opinions on how well the voting machines work.
Sounds great. Thanks a lot, Ira.
And good luck on your poll work this Tuesday.
I appreciate it.
Avi Rubin is professor of computer science at Johns Hopkins University, also the technical director of the Information Security Institute. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about we talked about polling. We're going to talk about the science of polling. How are all these polls made? Not the voting, actually, but the polling that people asked you before the election, after the election. How did you vote? How do pollsters work? Why do we get so many different answers? What are some of the problems? How to create a good poll? So stay with us. We'll be right back after this break. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News.